Well, good morning, West Cypress Church. And friends, grace and peace to you this morning. I am thankful to have you here, excited for all the events and all the chilies that are made. I'm excited for today's message, too, because today we're getting down to what it's really all about and talking about the gospel. And so I was thinking about the gospel, and I was thinking about our world. We get a whole lot of news, right? And I don't really watch the news. I don't read the news or pay attention to the news because most of the news is rather terrible. It's just awful. All we get is catastrophes and tragedies and all the bad things that are happening in the world. I'm like, man, don't bring me down. And then if I'm not getting that, it just seems like the news then, the other news I see all the time is just gossip and slander. And not getting political, but it doesn't matter who's in office. The news just hates the people that are in office and just always trash them for doing this, that, or the other. And so I thought, I just can't watch the news anymore. Like, I like happy days, and the news doesn't do it for me. And so I joke around a lot about how I go on Instagram and follow different things. The one site I follow that I just love when their stories pop up is called Good News Movement. And they share stories of good news, just good things that are happening around there. And so one of the stories they tell, in Portland, Oregon, there's somebody that set up a phone booth. And you can stop there and you can leave a message to encourage people. And if you're going through a hard time, you can come and listen to a message that someone left. Now, I can guarantee you that some people probably left some rude messages on that phone. I know that because I would probably do that as a joke, because I'm a terrible person, and I've said that before. But there are so many people that just come and leave encouraging messages for people. If you're hurting, come and get this. And I especially love kids are getting on there and leaving messages. And there's one child that was like 6 or 7 years old, and they just have their little innocent voice, and like they just said this, if you're feeling blue today, go outside and hug somebody. Like, that was just like, just do it. So it was just like, they said, if you're hurting, we set up this phone to encourage you and help you. That's good news. There was a story of a man named James Harrison, and he had a rare blood type that they could use to make injections that infants, when they're in the womb growing, they can get this certain disease. And his blood type was able to make that disease go away. And so when he found that out, he decided that he was going to continue to donate blood for the rest of his life. 1,173 times this man donated blood. And he hated needles. He hates needles. But he said, if I can help people, I'm going to do it. It's estimated that James helped save the lives of 2.4 million babies by donating blood. I'm like, why doesn't the news talk about that more? That's good news. Last story that was on, there was a group of Korean scientists that developed a groundbreaking technology that they have reversed cancer cells back into regular cells. It's amazing, right? And so what they did is they were successfully treating colon cancer in patients, not through radiation and chemotherapy, trying to kill that and everything else, but they actually got the cancer cells to revert back to being a normal cell in the body. That's good news, amen? Even this week in our small group, we went through on Wednesday nights, and we go through our studying at the end. We talk about how we can pray for one another. And one of the gentlemen in our group, we'll call his name Mark, because that's his name, and not pointing him out, but he said he gave his request, and like, this is something we can pray for. And the next morning, he texted me and was like, that prayer has already been answered, Pastor. My kids texted me and said, this is what happened, and I was just like, that's good news. Right? And I love it. And that's what God is all about, is good news. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We've been going through the book of Romans. We started last week. So in Romans chapter 1, you didn't miss much. We're just going to look at two verses today. Really simple and really easy. But Paul is going to get down to the gospel. And in the Greek word, the gospel is euangelion. And it literally means good news. I have it down here. Glad tidings, good or joyful news. Whenever you see the word gospel in the Bible, it literally means good news. It's good news, and it's God's good news for all people. And that's what I want to focus on today and look at. And I would say the book of Romans, there's 16 chapters. If you've not been here before, I'm just going to warn you, it's one of my favorite books of the Bible. I think it's the best book of the Bible, but I'm biased. But these two verses is the author's way of saying, this is what the entire book is about. Everything I'm about to tell you, I'm going to unpack in these two verses. This is the most important thing for you to get. And so I thought, that's a good thing for us to talk about this morning, is the gospel. And so we're going to read that in a minute. But kind of the bottom line I want you to think about as we talk about the gospel is this, when we think about life. Many paths claim to lead us to truth, but only one leads to life. Many paths claim to lead us to truth, and they do, but there's only one path that leads us to life. You're going to go out there and taste a whole bunch of chilies, but there's only one that deserves the number one vote, and that's mine, number 75. I'm not even telling you my real number. But God has created for us, God has gifted us the gospel, which is the path that leads to life. And as we think about the gospel today, what path are you walking on? Are you walking along the path that someone has told you what truth is? Are you walking on God's path of the gospel that leads to life? We're going to read Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 in a minute, but if I could get one or two people, if you don't mind praying out loud for our sermon this morning. Mark, I see you in the back. That may or may not be the Mark I was talking about in our small group. And James, thank you. So Mark, you'll pray first, and then James, you'll pray after him for us. Amen. Let's pray that God answers that prayer, James. I'd love another ribbon. I'm kidding. I don't have the best chili. Normally, we have you stand as we read the passage for the day. It's only two verses, so by the time you stand and sit down, it'd seem like an aerobic exercise. But this is God's word for this morning. I'm not going to have you stand this morning, but this is what the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, starting with verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for all who believe, for the Jew first and then for the Gentile. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And that's what Paul is getting at this morning, the gospel. And I love what he talks about. And before we kind of muse on some of the different things Paul hits there, I thought it would probably be good to sit down and talk about. We said the basic definition of gospel means good news. But what is Paul referencing? What is he talking about when he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel? What's the gospel, Paul? What is the good news? And so let's bring that back a little bit and talk about that. The gospel, first off, is God's gift to us. It's his way of reaching out to humanity and bringing grace and love to us. And over the next few weeks, like the good news of the gospel this week is great. The next few weeks, we're going to look at the other side of the coin, the bad news. So I just want to tell you, you came at a good week because it's good news this week. But if we want to understand the grace of God and the greatness of God and how great the gospel is, it's great to understand the love of grace of God, but to see it compared to the despair of our sinfulness really makes us understand. And we'll kind of talk about that a little bit. Simply put, the gospel is this, and here's a definition on the screen, and we'll whittle it down a little bit even. Jesus, the promised Messiah and Son of God, came to earth and lived a sinless life. He was unjustly crucified and killed, and after 3 days he rose from the grave, showing his power and authority to forgive sins and to fulfill God's plan of redemption for mankind. That's a beefy definition of the gospel, and we could put a whole lot more words in there. And where do I get this from? Right in the verses right above, in verses 2 and 3, Paul writes this. An apostle set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace. So if I want to make that simpler, the gospel is simply this. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, resulting in God's grace towards us for the forgiveness of sins. That's what Paul is talking about. I am not ashamed of that, because that changes everything, and that's the good news. Amen, friends? And so let's break down some of the things that Paul says. What I love, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for salvation. I want you to see this. The gospel is power. The gospel is power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. The power of God to do what? To save us. To save us from what? From our stupidity and from our sinfulness. To save us from our own recklessness. It's the power of God to change what we can't change on our own. And I'm jumping ahead a little bit, and Paul will get to this in chapters 2 and 3, but he's going to talk about our sinfulness, that we're broken, and we're damaged beyond repair. And no matter what we do, we can't fix that. And Paul understands that. That's why I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God to do something that I am incapable of doing on my own. It's God's path that leads to life. It's Jesus' life-giving sacrifice that cleanses us. And some of us, we might sit here and think, well, that's great for some people, but I'm not broken. I'm a good person. I give to the poor. I give to the homeless. I help out people in need. I do good things, so everything's going to be all right. And that's great, but sin still exists in our life. No matter how good we are, sin is still there. And I've likened it to this. Sin is a lot like carbon monoxide. It's clearless, it's odorless, it's tasteless. You don't know it's there, but it'll kill you. And that's what sin does. I'm not a bad person, Pastor. That's great. But sin still exists. And even if we deny it's there because we can't see it, taste it, smell it, or any of those things, it can kill us. The gospel is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. It's his power to change our circumstances. And we have a world, we have a lot of people, not everybody, but we have people that crave power. We crave power through money. We crave power through possessions. We crave power through positions. If I can have authority over people, I have power to tell them what to do. Our world likes power. And God has the ultimate power. I don't know how you feel, but if you've ever been in your home and the power goes out, is that not the most inconvenient thing in the world? I mean, I just hate it. You're like, what is going on? What happened? Who do I have to kill to get power back on in my house? Maybe not that far, but there was one time where the power went out in our house and I was trying to work and I'm like, well, it's hard to work without the internet, you know, because you want to look things up, but we'll wait this out and we'll wait this out. And I waited and I waited and it took over 10 hours to get the power back on at our house. Halfway through that, I'm starting to think, is all my food going to be okay? Like, is it going to rot? And it's, if I keep opening up the fridge, it will because I get hungry. But we hate losing power. We hate when that power is gone. And even this week, Pastor Brandon texted me. He's like, hey, bro, say a prayer for me. My truck just died while I was on the road. No steering, no brakes, no nothing. Can you imagine how like that? Like, who wants to be in that position where all of a sudden all your power is gone? And how do you stop your vehicle? How do you not get in an accident? There's nothing more desperate or helpless feeling than when we have no power to do things. And friends, you and I have no power to break the cycle of sin in our lives. We have no power to pay the debt that sin has incurred in our lives. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. It's the power of God for salvation for everybody who believes. And so what we were unable to do, God did for us because the gospel is powerful. Amen. King David in the Bible, he's one of the great kings of Israel, and he knew that God put him in that position. And he prayed this prayer that just, he really got it. He understood who God was. And he prays this. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. What did David understand? God, it's you. It has nothing to do with me being a king. You have all power. You have the power to change things. Friends, the gospel is God's power to change what we are unable to do on our own, to take away our sin and to cleanse us. And that's kind of our second point, and we'll unpack this a lot. Before Paul says, talks about the gospel is the power of God, he says this, I am not ashamed. God bless you. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's the power of God. And I want you to see this, that the gospel removes shame. And I love the truth of this, that the gospel removes shame. And first, what that looks like is Paul lived unashamedly for the gospel. He talked about it. He preached about it. He shared about it. He lived it. He was unashamed about living for Jesus Christ. It didn't matter what the world said or what everyone else said about his faith. He was not going to be ashamed about it because God totally changed his life. If you're unfamiliar with the story of Paul, he started out as a very devout Jewish man. And he thought he was chasing after God. He followed the law diligently. He did all the rules. He was on track to become one of the top religious leaders of Israel. He was going to be the man, if you will. He was respected and he was successful in every way, but everything changed when he was on the road to Damascus and Jesus encountered him. And Jesus had a talk with Paul, and Paul realized that what he was living for wasn't the ultimate truth, but that Jesus had set him on a path that's going to lead him to life. And so when Jesus stepped in, you can read this in Acts chapter 7 through 9. I'm not going to read the whole story. Everything radically changed for Paul. And the faith that he once persecuted, immediately he went out and started preaching. Because he understood the power of the gospel for salvation. And what I thought was a disgrace is actually grace, and I've got to tell everybody about it. And I don't care what anybody else says. I'm going to live unashamed of that gospel. When we live for God, when we live for His grace and His love, it doesn't matter what everyone says about us. When we understand God's grace for us, we can live unashamed of the gospel. You can make fun of me for believing it all that you want. You can tell me it's a crutch. You can say whatever you want. It doesn't bother me at all because I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's changed my life. Amen? And that's what Paul has said. Second good news of the gospel, when it takes away, gives us confidence to live in life for that. It also takes away our guilt and shame and sin. And in one aspect, it takes away the debt of our sin. That's the guilt that it takes away. That's the shame that it takes away. Sin incurs a debt, and Paul says later on in Romans that the wages of sin is death. That's the thing that you and I can't pay on our own. But Jesus, in going to the cross and dying and raising from the dead, paid the price of our sins. And so he takes away that guilt and that shame. And that's a beautiful thing. But the second thing that the Bible talks about is God takes away the guilt and the shame of our sins. The things that we feel inferior about. I can tell you in my life, I have done a lot of not so smart things. And we could probably sit down and share some stories, couldn't we? And things that I look back on, I'm like, Brian, why are you such a knucklehead? I don't know. I mean, I wish there's things in my life I wish I can go back and change that were just dumb. And some were just like, it just happened and it's just dumb. And there's a lot of things. But by the grace of God, I don't have to be overwhelmed by those burdens. The gospel takes away the shame of those things. It helps me to learn to share God's grace and not be a knucklehead anymore. And I'm not saying we just go on being knuckleheads, but God changes us and he takes away that shame. Looking back at King David again, in Psalm 32, he writes this: "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. And I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And you forgave me. All my guilt is gone." Amen. Some of you, you're carrying a lot of guilt. And some of you, maybe you don't know who Jesus is and you're carrying guilt around. Some of you do know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you're still carrying that guilt around. And I want to tell you this, that the blood of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, pays the debt of your sin, but takes away the shame and reproach of your sin as well. That's the grace and the love of God. That's what the gospel is all about. I've been trying this year to be more diligent in praying for the leaders at our church. And so I text out to them, hey, how can I pray for you? How can I pray for your ministry? What's going on? And every month just kind of update my list on how I can pray for them. And Pastor Anthony, aside from camp, he said, hey, one of the parents shared with me that one of the youth in the group is really dealing with a lot of guilt and weighed down with guilt and just feeling super inferior. And I was heartbroken over that. I'm like, man, I want that youth to know this message. I want him to know what Jesus has actually done for him, just as much as I want you to know for that. We walk around with these burdens and people don't want to come to church because they say, I don't need more guilt added to my life. And God isn't about adding guilt. He's about taking away the guilt. Amen? The gospel is the power of salvation that allows us to live unashamed. I am an idiot. I will say it over and over again. But I'm God's idiot, okay? And I am learning how to live for his glory because of his grace and love for me. And I'm learning how to share that with other people. And he is constantly transforming me and changing me to be an example of his love to others. And I have to keep learning those things. But there is a guilt of, God, I'm sorry I did this. And like David, I confess my sins and God takes away the guilt of my sins. When you confess your sins, when you come to God, he pays the debt of your sin and he takes away the guilt of your sin. And the gospel allows us to live unashamed for him. Amen. Billy Graham, he says this, and I love it, just talking about what the gospel points out in our lives and how it changes our lives. The gospel shows people their wounds and bestows on them love. It shows them their bondage and supplies the hammer to knock away their chains. It shows them their nakedness and provides them the garments of purity. It shows them their poverty and pours into their lives the wealth of heaven. It shows them their sins and points them to the Savior. That's good stuff. That's what the gospel is all about in changing our lives. God doesn't leave us in our despair and misery. Rather, he changes our lives and he puts us on a path of life. Last thing I want you to see is that the gospel invites everyone to life. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Just so you know, everyone means everyone. It's not like an exclusion, like it's the power of salvation to everyone who believes, except for these people. No, the people that would say these people, if they would turn and put their faith in Jesus Christ, they're part of the everyone who believes. And the gospel saves them just like it saves us. And so I love what Paul does that. I'm not ashamed because it is God's invitation to come and walk the path of life. For the Jew first and for the Greek, for the old and for the young, for men, women, for children, it doesn't matter. Read through the Bible and you will read about some pretty downright dirty, rotten, scoundrel people that God loved and saved and rescued them from their despair, just like he rescued me from my despair. Just like he reaches out to you and invites you to come and be a part of his life and walk on his path of life. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what your present is. It doesn't matter what bad things you've done or are currently doing. It doesn't matter how selfish you've been. It doesn't matter how mean you've been. It doesn't matter how much money you have or how much money you don't have. It doesn't matter your social status or anything like that. What matters is God loves you. And he sent his son into the world to pay the price of your sins, to welcome you into his family, so you can stop walking paths that claim to lead to truth, and you can walk the path that leads to life. That's what the gospel does for us. Throughout the gospels, as you read them, Jesus is constantly inviting people. Matthew 11, he says, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." John 7, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." John 21, he said to them, "Come and dine." John chapter 1, "Come and see." Mark 10, "Come and take up your cross." Mark 6, "Come away and rest." Mark 1, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Matthew 25, "Come, you blessed by my Father, and inherit the kingdom." Jesus is constantly inviting people into relationship with God. That's what the gospel is all about. God inviting you to life. And it's something he has been constantly doing throughout humanity's existence. And do we take him up on that? Do we believe him or not? In the gospel, the righteousness is revealed from faith for faith. How do we accept God's invitation? We believe what he says. Faith, believe, trust in, put all our eggs in that basket. Maybe that's not a good example because eggs are so expensive now. But you know, everything that we have, we put it there. Because this is it. For Paul, everything that he was before, he says he considers it as rubbish because the gospel is everything for him now. And he's put his complete faith and trust in God. God's going to lead me. God's going to guide me. God's going to take care of me. What are we putting our trust in? I recently read a story of a man who said, "I have so much money." I think he said he had like $40,000. And for the next 3 or 4 months, every day, he's going to ask ChatGPT, "How do I turn $40,000 into $1 million?" And that's what he's going to do. And I was like, I don't know if I trust AI enough to do that, right? Is that the advice I want to go to? And some of you are like, hey, that's not a bad idea. And just so you know, I have Grammarly on my computer. And so I will write things and it's like, oh no, underlines, take this out, change. I'm not a good writer at all. Grammarly tells me that. And so I will write something and I'm like, well, let me throw this in ChatGPT and see if it can correct my errors. And it's like, here, try this. I'm like, okay, copy, paste. And then Grammarly's like, yeah, no, this is wrong. I'm like, you two are both AI. Would you get your stories right? Like, you both can't be right or wrong. So do I trust AI to make all my decisions for me? I kind of don't. He might, but what am I trusting in? What am I putting my faith in? What am I believing in? Friends, the gospel is God's invitation to come and be a part of Him, to come and have your sins forgiven, to come and find life. And that's what the whole book of Romans is all about. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for all who believe, for the Jew first and then for the Gentile. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the just, the righteous will live by faith. Will you accept God's invitation? I love what one person said about the gospel. They said, religion is man seeking God. The gospel is God seeking man. And God is seeking you. And He's inviting you to life. Moses led the Israelites through the wilderness. And I'm going to wrap up with this. And the band, you can come on up. For 40 years, he walked them through this. And there were highs and there were lows and highs and lows and a lot. And as he was leading them to the promised land, Moses put this charge before them in Deuteronomy 30. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. And he had just gone over all the covenant and what God had said for them. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. In a few minutes, you're going to go out there and choose what chili you think is the best. You're going to choose what decorations you think are the best. And all those things are going to be fun and we're going to have a great time. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really mean much. But the gospel changes everything. And my invitation to you and God's invitation to you today is simply this. Choose life that you may live. And that's what the gospel is all about. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your invitation of grace and love that takes us as we are. It takes all our burdens and all our brokenness and all our sin. And Lord, you lovingly and willingly pay the debt and make us clean and you heal us. And God, today, you extend this invitation for us to come and to believe, to come and actually truly live and live for something that matters. God, thank you for the gospel. Because it changes everything. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.